Okay, Bava Metzia Daf Yud Dalet Amar Aleph 14a. We got a little bit down on the page. We're at Amar Shmuel, probably about 10 lines down or so. Amar Shmuel, Mai Ta Maihu Derabbanan. Shmuel asks, what's the reason for the Rabbanan? The Rabbanan were the one that said that even if the shtar doesn't have within it Shibud Nechasim, that you can still collect from Shibud Nechasim. We had mentioned this in passing yesterday, in order to justify this or that price that you know we were throwing around yesterday, but Savri Achrayos Tos Sofer Hu, that the fact that it's not written in the shtar is not because they deliberately didn't do it.
Somebody,
but
with
no lien,
with a loan that there's no mention of a lien, that person, the creditor, can collect on property that's already been mortgaged to somebody else.
I don't know, a mortgage to somebody else. Oh, I guess technically it could be. I mean, that's not the only situation. But yeah, it is definitely open to that possibility, I think. I don't know if it depends on timing or not, meaning which one was written first. But either way, technically, theoretically, you're right. Okay. Theoretically, that could be a situation, yeah, I would think. And the reason why it's not is because they just forgot about it. You know, publishing error.
In which I say, too bad for you. Right. Carefully. I mean,
that's why you hire a lawyer.
It
yeah.
seems easy.
I don't know, but that's not how the Rabbanon believe. So Amar Le Ravel Bar Iti Le Rav Idi Bar Aven Umi Amar Shmuel Hachi. Did Shmuel really say that? What do you mean Shmuel really say that?
That the absence of a guarantee in the documents presumed to be an oversight of the scribe.
You know, I'm just... It's weird, the way that Shmuel introduces this is as if he's just trying to explain the Rabbanan Shita. I can see this going down a path where it's like, oh no, Shmuel doesn't believe that, he's just talking about the Rabbanan Shita. But okay, let's see what it says. Now, I guess the working assumption of the question is that Shmuel not only is explaining the Rabbanan, but also believing in their opinion. V'amar Shmuel shevach shefer v'shibud tzarech limalech. He has another concept, which is if a sofer is writing a document for a seller, so then he has to go back to the seller and ask him if he likes the shevach or the shefer. What's shevach?
Improvement of the field.
Shevach, shefer. Meaning what? Meaning, do you want to write in there that you get any improvements from the moment you sell it?
It says here, has not Shmuel said, as regards improvement of the field, the claim to the best property, and mortgaging the debtor's property, it is necessary for the scribe to consult the seller of the field?
Right, I mean, yeah, right, okay, I guess we don't have to get into the specifics unless the Gemara is going to. I'm not sure it is. But the point is, these are three things that the sofer always checks with the blessed. The sofer always checks with the person they're writing it for, in this case, a seller. And one of those things is the shibud. And so how could it be that we're going to chalk it up to tell a sofer, they're checking on it.
The explanation from what Aaron said, the guarantees, it's talking about something a little bit different. It's talking about when you give a deed of land, I sell to you, do I guarantee that a creditor isn't going to seize it?
Oh, for Shtar Mecher, for this case you mean, not the one we were talking about before.
Correct.
Yeah, this case, I hear. So then you're talking about a seller who is putting a shibud guarantee. Shibud free guarantee. That's what we're saying.
Free guarantee.
Okay, that's what we're talking. Okay, so that obviously that's a different case. But again, I guess the Gemara is lumping them together. That look, Sofrim talk about shibudim with the parties before they write. Lema man da amar ha lo amar ha. Are we to say that the opinion that says this from Shmuel didn't also say this one from Shmuel? So siluka shakan bishtar hava. When it comes to a loan, so then because a person is not, he's not getting a lot of money for it, is that what that means?
Because he doesn't give away money for nothing.
Meaning it's like understood. I'm not just going to give away my money unless I have a shiva to it.
The lender receives no benefit from his loan, so it must be assumed that he at least wanted to guarantee his principal as much as possible.
Right.
And would certainly not lend the money if he felt he had no lien against the borrower's real property.
Right, right. Okay, so interesting that we're saying that for that, but not for a seller. I guess the seller is about to say it. That it could be that a person who's making money on the deal. So he's not as adamant about having a guarantee. Obviously, guarantees are always good, but he's not as adamant to have it because he's making money on it. Okay. Okay. And that's why the sofer has to go back to the seller to ask him the question, do you want to do a shiva or not? Because it's a question. It's up in the air. As opposed to the loan, we know for sure. He should not have to go back to the party and ask if they want a shiva. Okay. And this distinction between shtar halva and shtar mekach can be seen somewhere else. Ki hahi davua bar ihi zavin ilisa me'achse. That the father of the son of Ihi?
No, Abuha is his name.
Oh, Abuha is his name. Avua bar Ihi. His name is Avua, the son of Ihi. Okay, that gets confusing.
Yes.
I guess that's like naming your son Abba, though. That happens. Avua bar Ihi, Zavin Ilisa me'achse. He bought land from his sister,
here,
a good land.
A garret.
It says an upper story of a house.
A garret is like
I actually think upper story.
A garret is like an attic, yeah. All right.
I wonder, here my Gemara is interpreting Elisa to be like better, like ole, it's like a better type of plant. Karkam ule. Either way. Asabal chov tarfa mine. And then a creditor came and took hold of it. I don't know exactly how you do that, but
and specifically, you know, his sister's creditor
foreclosed on it.
Yeah.
Asa Balchov.
The sister gave him the
right. You know. The one who originally sold it is now losing out on the field that she sold. So Abu Abar'i is out of luck. Asal Kamei Demar Shmuel. They came to Shmuel. Amar Lei Kas V'Lach Achrayus. That when you wrote, he's asking this question.
Did
yeah,
she write
did she have a shibud guarantee in the document, meaning to protect you from this? So Amar Lelo, Amar Le Imkain Zil Lishlama. You know, have a nice day, basically. You know, what do you want from me? It's not in the paper, so can't do anything for you. So Amar Le, then Abu Bar E says back to Shmuel, Vaham Marhu de Amar Christ Osofru.
His remedy would be against his sister, not against the creditor.
True. Yeah, it's all about the sister at this point. Yeah, the creditor is doing what he's allowed to do. So Achrayos Tosofru, didn't you say, Shmuel, didn't you say that Achrayos is assumed in a document because it's just in the mistake? So Amar Le, Shmuel said, Hani Mila Bishtar Halva, Hava Bishtari Mekach Memkar, Lo, Tavin Ishizavin Arali Ome. Morning, Leonard. That when it comes to a shtar for a loan, that's when we'll say we assume there's a shiva. No one's going to lend out money without some kind of money back guarantee. But when it comes to a mekach u'memkar, where there is money changing hands and people benefiting on both sides, so then it's not assumed that the shiva is in there, shiva karkos is in there. And the fact that it's not means that you just opted out of it. Yeah. Okay. Interesting story. Amar Abaye, Reuven Shemach Rasada LeShimon BaAchrayos. Reuven sold his field to Shimon. We're getting into like real estate law here. Reuven sold the field to Shimon with a lien, with mortgage property. With the mortgage protection, with a lien protection. How would you say that? I keep saying shibud.
A warranty of title is the term.
Warranty of title on the land that he bought. Warranty of title. Meaning, he's guaranteeing that, that the land belongs to him.
Right.
That it's unencumbered.
Right. Would that be called a title? I mean, I know that's how, like, that's a form of that. That's not the only way to do that, right? I mean, title is basically saying, are you the sole owner of this land, like, on the books, right? No, this is not necessarily saying that you'll always be the owner. It's just saying that nobody else can come seize it, the ownership of it.
Right, and that's so, and that's what a but warranty of what a warranty of title is
yeah.
This is land that is unencumbered by any liens or judgments. In other words,
oh, okay, so maybe I'm
you're selling me is. The land, and you're saying okay. You are the sole owner. There is
nobody else
who
can come get it.
Put any limits on that land.
Meaning,
right? Land. Even a lien. Okay, right. I thought a warranty of title meant nobody can come and claim. That it's their land because it's sort of like a guarantee of the title.
Well, in a sense, that's true because true. They yeah, can't claim it's their land.
No, but this is different because nobody is claiming that this has always been my land.
No.
This is like this is a case where somebody is saying, I'm coming to collect this land, which is not the same as that title case. But I guess a warranty of title could cover both. Either way, so Reuven sells the field to Shimon with a warranty of title. Look at this. I'm you know, using fancy words now.
I could have a few years ago recited to you verbatim the traditional old English phrases that were traditionally used. Well seized of the land and fee simple, and that they are free from evil forever.
Nowadays,
and defended and against the land.
Why would you ever need to know those words?
Because I used to.
I know. You used to recite them by heart? And then the debt, the creditor of Reuven comes and seizes the field, which is obviously against what it says in the document or what they agreed to. So, dinahu da'azil Reuven mishtai dina badei, that Reuven can go and, adjudicate the loan with the creditor to make sure he doesn't do that?
Yeah, so it sounds like.
V'lo matzi amarle lav bal dvarim ditiat. And the creditor in this case is not allowed to say to the seller, meaning to Reuven, he's not allowed to say, this is not your problem, I'll pick it up with Shimon. De amarle, because Reuven can say, de mafkat mine alai didi hadar.
Because if you take it from Shimon, now Shimon can come to me, right. So therefore I am involved in this.
Okay, we could amri da afilu shaloba achrayos nami da amrali lo nichli delevi leShimon taromes alai. Even without achrayos, he could make such a claim. The difference being that he didn't say the difference being that with Shimon, with achrayos, he has a greater motivation to not do that with Shimon. Meaning, even without Achraios, he might want to be a nice friend to Shimon. He doesn't have to be.
I don't even know that he wants to be a nice friend to Shimon, but he says, look, I'm involved in this because if you take the field away from Shimon, Shimon's going
to
be
upset. He's going to come back to me. Right.
Yeah.
And I want to stay friends. But he has no obligation
right.
in that
way.
He
doesn't have an obligation to pay, to give Shimon back his money
right.
if there's no Achraios.
Right. When there is Achraios, then he has
The thing that's missing here is he may not have a good claim. I mean, he can.
Yeah, I don't know how the Achraios helps
you
at all.
Against the creditor. The creditor says, I have a perfectly valid lien. Go right. away. In which case, he has to go after Shimon.
Right. I don't know what exactly Reuven's claim would be in court. Like, judge, I told him that I wasn't going to give him any liens on the property. So, okay, well, you shouldn't have done that.
What is his claim against Reuven's creditor? What is Shimon's claim against Reuven's creditor?
Shimon doesn't have a claim against the creditor. He has a claim against Reuven, basically, which is like, you told me this was lien-free. You sold me this with a warranty of title, and now you're telling me this guy can come. Now this guy's telling me he's trying to take it.
Yes,
so it's Reuven's, Shimon. It's really Reuven's problem. I guess you could write anything you want in the shtar, but there's still a creditor. You have to figure it out.
And the creditor still predated what you wrote in the shtar.
Right. Otherwise,
so
it's not a question.
The creditor still is entitled to take the land.
Yeah.
Reuven can't
I don't know. Let's see what else, what other cases we've got here. V'yomer Abai, Reuven, Shemachar Sal, L'Shem, B'Shulah, B'Achrayos, Yatsu Aleha Asikin. Yatsu Aleha Asikin. Is this a title case?
Yeah, protesters against Reuven's ownership of the land came.
Meaning they said it was always theirs.
They said, yeah, well, this wasn't your land.
So ad shelo hechzik ba, if they complained about it before Shimon took hold of it, so then yachol achzor bo, so then Shimon could back out. Misha hechzik ba, eno yachol achzor bo. Once Shimon already agrees to it, I don't know exactly what Hechzik Vechel looks like. Does he live there?
Chazuk, he did a Maisa Chazuk on the field.
He built changed something on it?
An improvement on the field.
Or he lived in it for a while. I don't know if we have a strict number there. En Yachal Achzor Bo, De Amar Le, Chaita De Kitre. A bag full of...
A bag is sealed with knots.
Was that was not?
We've heard that phrase before. It's basically, you've got nothing.
A bag of nuts. You got a bunch of nothing. Savart v'kabalt. Right. This is you took you rolled the dice and you lost.
A pig and a poke.
I don't know what that one is either.
Pig and a poke is you buy a pig inside of a bag and you don't see what's inside the bag.
Okay.
And when you open the the poke is a bag.
Okay.
And when you open it, there's a cat or something.
Not what you expected.
Not what you expected. You bought something.
Right. Meaning it was your problem for not looking into it properly or not getting title insurance or something like that. I don't know if title insurance would work. You guys get a title.
Title search.
And then you get title insurance.
Well, the title company, that's the company that's going to give you the title.
The insurance, they wouldn't give it to you unless they already...
They do the title search.
Right. But it's a one-step thing, or you have to do separate things?
No, it's
a They'll do a title search before giving you insurance.
They better.
Yeah, right. Okay, I don't know how it works.
Blindly, they can. I've seen some of them...
No, I can imagine a title insurance without someone searching.
Well, typically what they do is they'll give you a title insurance commitment.
Yeah.
And they'll first do a title search, obviously.
Right.
And it'll list exceptions to coverage. And you mm-hmm. darn well better be careful. You, the buyer, darn well better be careful about the exceptions to coverage. I used to cynically think they would insure anything. They just list everything wrong as an exception
right.
to coverage and charge.
Yeah, right. And it's your problem.
Premium.
Yeah.
And say it's your problem, so you have to carefully look at.
Uh-huh. So but here's that case.
Didn't list it as an exception. Then
they're covered.
They pay you if you lose the land.
That's pretty crazy. Yeah, but that's what you do for. So, MMS, I have a chazaka. So, what is a chazaka? That's what I was asking before. So, when is it that the lokeach, meaning Shimon, when does he technically just have to deal with it? You know, to what extent has he taken hold of the land? So, MMS, I have a chazaka. Michi daish ametre, when he outlines the border of the field, does he do anything specific to the border? What's the daish? He stomps
walking,
on it?
He's walking.
Yeah. Daish usually means to stomp.
It says he compacts the ground.
Mm-hmm.
So shoring up.
All right. So he's doing some kind of marker on the ground that says this is where my land goes to.
Yeah, footnotes is making any physical improvements to the field.
Right. Okay. So, I mean, this is a minimal thing, like even a non-improvement like this. V'yigid amri afil b'achrayos. And some say even with achrayos nami. Even if it's done with a guarantee, a warranty of title, as we said before. So then, what does that mean?
Even if it's done with a warranty, if he makes this chazaka, then Reuven can say...
He still has to deal with it.
And then this rumor goes out that...
Right. It's not his.
It's not his.
Then it's too bad. Even with a chrayas, doesn't matter. De amar le, ach vi tirfach. Show me your document.
Show me the document that they take it away from you, and then I'll pay you.
V'ashalim lach. Which is actually true, I guess, if he gave him a guarantee, and now...
He's saying that once you've done this...
No, that he can't back out. Yeah. But in terms of Shimon's claim against Reuven, he has a pretty strong claim, because he wrote a guarantee in the shtar.
Right, then
if they take he might get paid.
Right, he now hears this. Once he's done this chazaka, he can't back out.
Right.
And then Reuven can say to him, look, if they take it, show me proof that they took it from you, and then I'll pay up. But
uh-huh.
I'm not letting you out of it now.
Right.
You're never going to come for it.
Yeah, interesting. Okay, Itmar. Hamocher sada lechaver avinimtze shena shalo. this is not even a question. I mean, we're going in stages here. Before we were talking about, you know, someone as a creditor coming. Then we're talking about people that were claiming that they own the field. Now he's mamish selling somebody else's field. And he knows that for sure. Even with
Brooklyn Bridge.
You're right. He's selling somebody else's house, selling somebody else's property. Yeah. So Rav Amar Yesh Lomos. What does that mean? Rav Amar Yesh Lomos, that the seller has to pay the buyer. I guess he already took possession of it.
Right. I mean, that's obvious that he's going to have to pay the buyer. I think the next part is the
Chiddush.
Is the Chiddush.
V'yesh lo shevach.
Not only that, but he has to
pay for any improvements that that Shimon made on the field.
Right, Shimon put.
Even though it wasn't his field.
Shimon invested money in this field thinking it was his field.
Right.
So Rav says, not only does he have to pay for return the money.
Yeah, that makes sense to me.
Okay.
Yeah, Shmuel Amar, Mos Yesh Lo Shevach Ein Lo. Shmuel's basically saying, tough luck. You've been working on a field that's not yours. But he was doing that under the pretense of Reuven's.
Right. It's hard to understand Shimon's reasoning. So that's what the Gemara is now going to try to figure out.
Bo Mine Merev Huna. Peirash Lo Es HaShevach Mahu. This is a different case. I mean, it's not different, but it's a different situation where the seller explicitly says to him that I'll give you back any improvements to the field. I don't know why he would say that.
It's part of the guarantee.
Part of the guarantee is if somebody else comes and claims the field, pay you back for the field, but also for any improvements. Okay, it's an interesting thing. I guess with contracts today, I can't really argue with that. Contracts today are, whole books. Yeah, I remember buying my first Tesla. I'm like, what is this? My hand was tired.
Signing.
The deed itself is probably only one.
Right, page. I know. I'm just saying with all the exceptions, all the insurances, all the, guarantees and whatever. So, not many guarantees, but all the liabilities and stuff. So Mahu. So he said it explicitly. So what's the halacha in that case? Tamadish mo mishim de lo perish shivcha v'hacha perish la odioma tamadish mo kevin de le slay karka michzi karibis. Oh, that's a bolt. I mean, that is. Is Shmuel's claim, number one, he never explained it, and that's why he wouldn't have to pay for it, but now that he explained it, he would have to pay for it? Or is it because, sorry, I can't help you, it looks like ribbis? Which is, I find that a little bit cheap. I lied to you, made you work on this field for a year, and now you're out, $10,000, but what can I do? Looks like ribbis. It's kind of like, what? That's theft. I don't know, why is that called ribbis? So Amar Lahu, in La Varafia be a day. In? What's in? In means yes.
Right.
He has to pay, is that what that means? Or it's, he doesn't have to pay.
Yes is because
in Velav. Oh, in Velav, that's what it's saying. In Velav, I don't know. Yes or no. Rafia be a day. He wasn't very clear on that. Varafia be a day. He didn't know what the true reason was. So Itmar, Amr of Nachman Amr Shmuel. Quoting from Shmuel, Mos Yeshel Shevach Ein Lo, Af Al Pi Sheperish Lo Es HaShevach, My Taima, Kevin De Karka Ein Lo, Schar Maos of Oven Minotel. Since the land didn't belong to the seller, when he gives back to the buyer, it looks like Schar Maos of Omid Vinotel.
Which sounds like
a ribbis thing. What? How do you translate Schar Maosev Omer Venotel?
He says the purchaser collects a fee for the use of his money.
That's what it looks like.
Right. Because it looks like I gave you $10,000 for your field.
Yeah.
And now you're giving me back $20,000 because I put in $10,000 of improvement. So it looks like you're giving me back.
As if everyone's watching both things.
And as if everybody thinks it was a loan.
Right. Okay.
Instead of a purchase.
Schar Maosav. Yeah, I guess that's like a fee. I hear that. Schar Maosav. So that is Rav Nachman's claim from
Shmuel. I just don't understand why he just didn't use the term ribbis.
Ribbis, yeah, it sounds, yeah. Isavei Raveler of Nachman. Rava says back to Rav Nachman, so I've pitched my tent in the other, on the other side of this argument. I'm with, I guess I'll be with Rava. I don't know what he's going to say. Isavei Raveler of Nachman.
Yes.
right? I'm hoping it's a bit about parish law or ain't a parish law. So Rav Nachman's claiming it's a ribbis thing. Rav Nachman ain't motzin lachil's peros uleshevach karkos ulemazoni ishav abanos minchas mishubadim mebnei tikkun olam. We do not remove land for the sake of paying. We don't seize land for the sake of paying for. What is this? L'achilas peros. What does that mean?
It says these rulings will be explained by the Gemara.
Oh, okay, good. Good. So when it comes to all of these three things, achilas peros, shevakos, and mozanish vabanos, we don't pay them off through lien property because of tikkun olam. We don't want to take away from people that bought things already. Mi mishavdei hu d'lo mafkinan, habib nechar and mafkinan. But we would take from freed lands, v'katani miha, and we still say, l'shevach kakos, my lav mi bilokeach mi gazlan. Shevach karkos, why are we assuming this, but... when that Mishnah said that we will pay it off from Shevach Karkos, from the improvements of a land, is that not talking about stealing it, taking it? Someone who bought a stolen land? Lo, b'bal chov. Why would we assume it's from stolen land? It's from a loaned property. So, b'bal chov, emaresha, ein motzin l'achilas peros. And I guess... L'achilas peros. I still don't know what that means. Bless you. Iba bal chov, we're talking about a lender situation. So then, bal chov mi isle pere. Does the creditor who collects from a buyer get the fruit also? V'hamar shmua bal chov goves a shevach, shevach in aval peros lo. He gets the shevach but not the peros. Is this part of the... Who's talking here? Shmuel says the Baal Chov is Goves HaShevach. Okay. Ela Pshita Begoz of an Igzal. According to Shmuel, if it was a loan property and the... If it was a lien property of a loan and then the creditor comes along and seizes it, he can take only the improvements to the field but not the fruit themselves. So that says the Gemara, yeah, Elab Shita, it must, and therefore we can't claim that, again, we can't claim that we seize the land for Achilas Peros. Again, I'm not really sure what the situation is. Where hasn't explained it yet. But it must be a case of theft. Because of an exile, in order for him to collect the fruit. Umidureshe, because of an exile, sefinamba, because of an exile. The fact that the first part, achilos peros, is by a theft case. So then maybe shevach karkos is also because of an exile. And in that case, we're claiming that Shevach goes to the whoever this is also. We haven't explained where this stuff is going to. Okay. So the Gemara says, Mi diirya, hakisa vakisa. Who says that it must be the same case? Maybe they're two separate cases. Okay, so v'halo tani hachi. Now we're going to get into it a little bit. But wait a second. When the Braisa explains this case a little bit further, it says l'shevach karkos ketzad. What's the case of shevach karkos? Haresha gazach sada, which is all we need really, because we're just trying to prove that it's a gzela case for the shevach part of the Braisa of the Mishnah. But now we're going to explain it also. L'shevach karkos ketzad. Haresha gazach sada mechavero v'harehi yotam idach hazado. A person stole from his fellow, And then what's Vaharehi Yotza Mitachas Yado? Someone took it back?
Now it leaves his possession.
I guess he sold it maybe, or he gifted it. We need the Menchies, but we've got someone who had a land, and then someone stole the land, and that person that stole it, sold it, then stole it and sold it.
He had to give it up again in consequence of legal action.
Oh, that's what I was thinking originally. Yeah. So what does it say here? Kishehu goveh, goveh sakeri minachas mishubadim. When the original owner collects from it, he collects the principal from even other liened properties of the.
So he points out, as reported by the Gemara, the Bryce is difficult, for the robber certainly does not get compensated when the stolen property is returned to its rightful owner. The Gemara below will explain.
Who says it can be paid?
Right, when it says.
Goveh.
Shimon stole this land from Reuven, and now the court forces him to return it.
Right.
And you can't possibly say that Shimon should get compensated for the improvements that he made on the land.
Oh, I haven't said that part yet, but yeah. V'shevach goveh minchas minichorin. Shevach goveh minchas minichorin. No, he's not getting paid here. Reuven is getting the Reuven's land was stolen. Goveh, who's Goveh here? Goveh is someone now, collecting on the land that they lost, I thought.
So now Reuven gets his land back. But Shimon, who was the thief, claims, hey, but I put money into this land while I had it. I want my money. I want Reuven to pay for that.
That's not how I was understanding it. I understand that maybe there was a buyer here. That maybe Shimon sold it to somebody. Maybe. That would make everything make sense.
The Brisa doesn't make sense, and it's going to be explained.
Okay. So fine. So all we know now are the pieces that are coming together is that you can collect Karen from Mishubadim and Shelach from Bnei Chorin. So Hechidami, Ilemikatekatahani, Gazlan Iman Gavi. So if it's as you said, so then where's the Gazlan getting stuff from? Why would he ever get stuff? Elalav, Kagon Shagazal, Sadam Echavel, Mecharel, Achavishpicha. That's what I was assuming. That he stole it from someone, and then he sold it to somebody else. And then that other person that bought it was improving it. And then that's when we say that the customer can come back to Shimon, who presumably got paid for it, and he can collect from the thief. Collect from the thief. The land itself, the Karen, and then the Shevach. And that's when the Brisa says you get it from Bnei Chor in the Shevach. So Amar Lei, Rav Nachman says to Rav, Lav Tarutze Kam Tartzta. That's not an answer. But this is explicitly against Shmuel, right? This is the customer is getting paid for the Shevach from Bnei Chorin. So Rav Nachman says back, no, that's not good enough. Tartz Nami Baal Chof. That could also be a loan case, not a theft case. Okay. I mean, it said Gazal in the case. So I guess you can sort of theoretically call it a Gazal.
If you're going to have to modify the Brisa, you can modify it to make it a Baal Chov case.
But we didn't change any words. the word in the Brisa was Gazal, and now we're claiming that that's referring to a loan. Okay, I don't know. Tashima, La Achilas Peros Ketzer. What's the case of Achilas Peros? Harisha Gazal Sada Mechavira Vahari Yotza Mitachas Yadok. Shu Goveh Goveh Sakarim Minchas Mishavad and Peros Goveh Minchas Minichorin. So Hechidami. Ile Mekatekatani Gazim Angave. El Olav Kagon She Gazal Sada Mechavira Mechar La Achavi Shbicha. Again, a customer case. The third party that got the land now want, or got the fruit now wants the land and the fruit back. So that's when they say you can collect the fruit from Bnei Chorin. So Amarava, Hachomai Eskinan. Rav is now explaining what's going on. Hachomai Eskinan, Kagon Shigazal Sadame Chavel Mela Peros. He bought a land which is full of fruit. V'achlas Aperos, V'chafar Babor Shichrimaros. V'anigzal Gabas Karen. Govim Mechas Meshubadim. What? The thief is coming to collect?
No, the Nigzal,
Okay. The person, the Nigzal is the same as the buyer, right? The Nigzal and the Chavit and the Lokeach are the same person. Oh, no, sorry. Reuven is the original owner. The Lokeach is the one that did all the work. Right. So the Reuven, the original owner, comes to collect the principal. Govim and Chasam Yishubadim, he can collect that from even the Chasam Yishubadim.
Of the thief.
Of the thief, presumably. Ban Nigzal Ligbos Peros, Govim and Chasam Yishubadim. And when he comes to collect all the fruit that was there originally, I have that he's not going to the thief, he's going to the customer. Either way, he's allowed to collect that way. That's how Rav is explaining it. Why are we using this for Shmuel, though? This is not a Shevach case. Rabba bar Rav Huna Amar Kedon Shene Talua Misikin.
That's interesting.
Stolen by non-Jews. But nixal ligbos karen govin chasmi shibadim. But nixal ligbos peros govin chasmi nechorin. I really don't know how this is going to help Shmuel. Okay, so basically, their interpretation is that it's the non-Jews that stole the land, and therefore you can't collect the land itself because non-Jews have it, or Masikin, specifically non-Jews that I guess you can't collect from. So then, Banigzal Ligbos Karen, then he texts from the Chasam Yishubadim, like any other business transaction, and then Nigzal, if he comes to collect from for the peros that he lost, so he gets from Nechorin, which is apparently like a Malval Peh Halacha. Okay, I will have to continue this tomorrow, I think, but. Basically, so we have Rava and Rabba. Rava explains it as a case of just regular theft. Good old regular theft. And Rava Varapuna explains it as theft of a non-Jew. I'm not really sure why it justifies the difference, but... All right, we'll talk about it tomorrow.